All right, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll just pick it up in verse 11. We talk about that threefold deliverance, and he delivered. He is delivering now from the power of sin. He delivered us from the penalty of sin, and then he will yet deliver. He's going to deliver us from the presence of sin with that new body. We're going to be in with him forever and a whole new setup. So verse 11, this is a good verse right here. It says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now I've got that underlined in my Bible where it says helping together by prayer. Y'all, one of the biggest things you can do is help somebody with prayer. That's why, you know, I take it serious. If I know some people will pray, that's why I try to get a hold of somebody and say, hey, I need you to be praying for so-and-so. Why? He says, helping together by prayer for us. He knows that if he can get their prayer, y'all know, don't get me wrong, I'm like anybody else. I know we have to have money, pay bills and stuff. But if I had to choose between money and prayer, I'd take your prayers. Because y'all, God can take care of us in ways that we could have never thought. And I was coming through Ecclesiastes, and it was talking about, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but it was talking about it. It's a blessing just to be able to work with the labor of your hands. Y'all, the fact that we're able to do anything. And he was talking about, you know, it being a blessing just to be able to get out there and work. We forget there's a lot of folks who wish that they had hands they could use.
That's right.
We forget that there are people out there who wish that they had eyes and who wish that they had, you know, some people are deaf and things. Not to say that they're not blessed in some kind of way. But y'all, we're fully functioning bodies here this morning. Able, it's a blessing. And we ought to be able to help somebody else for prayer. We got hands that can clasp together and pray for somebody. He says that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. See, just over and over, just being able to be thankful. You'll see something about Paul and his epistles. Over and over and over, he's thankful. That attitude of gratitude is something that has to be cultivated in us because, y'all, it's so easy. It's so easy just to grumble and complain and find our flesh wants to find something to complain about. And you know what? The Bible says do all things without murmuring and complaining. Do you know if you'll come through that Old Testament over there, you know why they were bit by those serpents? Because the Bible said they were complaining. One of the biggest things that God hates is complaining. You know why? Because we're not being content in whatsoever state we're in.
That's right.
And we get out here and, man, these roads got all these potholes in them and everything. Well, thank God we got a road. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, it's inconvenient. But what I'm telling you is this. The flesh wants to take the easiest way. The flesh don't want any bumps in the road. The flesh don't want to be slightly hot. The flesh don't want to be slightly cold. The flesh wants to be just right. Right all the time. And y'all, we being thankful, Paul's being thankful in a hard situation.
Yes, he is.
He's having all kind of things going. He says, hey man, we're just thankful. And y'all, it's a blessing to see that. And it's a blessing to be around people who are thankful. He says, for our rejoicing is this.
Amen.
Now I'm going to use this text in the sermon today, so I may not go over it as much. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse number 12. He says this, the testimony of our conscience. Uh-huh. All right, now watch this. That in simplicity and godly sincerity. Now he puts up like a little phrase here, not with fleshly wisdom. You're not going to have this attitude with fleshly. Fleshly wisdom does not teach you this attitude. Watch this. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. You know that attitude of gratitude will cultivate a place where you can rejoice in the fact that you're just keeping things simple. That's one thing I'm going to talk about in the sermon. Y'all, it's so hard not to get caught up in the complexities of this world.
That's right.
You know what you're going to find? The more simple you are, the more joy you're able to have.
That's right.
The more we get caught up in the things of this world, and the things of this world are just like flypaper. We've got those sticky traps. We had to catch them. I don't know why. Lately, we've had flies around the house. I've tried to make sure the garbage is way away from the house. I couldn't figure it out. But sometimes you just have flies. And we got those little sticky traps that you can get them. And, you know, you get a few on there and throw them away. But, man, those flies will come up there and just get stuck. And I think that's how the world does to you. You just get stuck to it.
You will.
And you can't get away. Well, see, he's saying it's a blessing and it clears your conscience for you to have simplicity. All right, well, it's just, first of all, he's got this attitude of gratitude. And you see how things will compound on things? We got to stay simple. Now, verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. Well, he's just saying it's going to be something you're able to be, what we're writing to you, you're going to be able to count on it from now on. All right, and also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing. See, they're rejoicing in each other. The fact that each other, you know what? I rejoice in the fact I've watched y'all just since I'm watching y'all grow in the Lord. I rejoice watching Eli grow in the Lord, my children grow in the Lord. We rejoice in each other just seeing the Lord work in y'all's life. Y'all, that's something we've got to realize is it's good to be focused on the fact that, hey, God's blessing somebody else. Man, isn't that a blessing to see them grow? Isn't that a blessing to see them now? They you know, because we've all got things we used to do that we no longer do. Why? Because God's been working with us and God's shown us things and stuff like that. And that's all you do. But it's something to rejoice in. And he says, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know what? One of these days, we're going to see the Lord. And the fact that we help people and things like that, don't you know that's going to be a blessing and a joy in that day? Because you know what? He said, ye are ours. The fact that he was able to help them, they're going to be able to rejoice when they see the Lord one of these days. That's going to be a blessing. Why? Because we're working together. And what you do for others is going to count when you see the Lord. It's going to be something to rejoice about. But a lot of times you've helped other people and you say, well, nobody noticed that or anything else. But let me tell you something. If you've helped somebody, it didn't go unnoticed.
Right.
One of these days, you don't know how far it went. And you're going to see the Lord and you're going to be able to rejoice and God's going to say, I saw it. Isn't that a blessing? Y'all, right? I mean, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people that get rewards out there when they see Jesus Christ that people right now, you never would have thought.
Right.
You never would have thought. Why? Because they just don't make a big deal out of it. But I'll tell you something, it's a big deal to the Lord.
That's a big
deal to Him when you help other people. He says this, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit. Uh-oh. We got to stop here for a minute. This right here is where your charismatics, they get that, they call it a second blessing after salvation. And they call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they use this text and a few others. He's not saying anything far-fetched out here. All Paul is saying this second blessing is, it don't have anything to do with tongues. I was going to go into that, but it don't have. All he's saying is whenever he comes, he's going to be able to teach and preach to them some more and show them things in the ministry, and it's going to be another benefit. Why? A second benefit. They were benefited by the first time they talked to him, and he's saying, hey, you're going to have a second benefit. Why? Because Paul knew the Bible. And it, y'all, it's a blessing to be around folks. There's been people that I've been around one time and I knew they knew the Word of God and I've had some questions and I got around them again and they helped me with something. I said, man, that's a blessing. I actually benefited from that. That's all he's saying. It's not anything wacky out there or anything else. He's just saying, when I see you again, you're going to get another benefit, a second benefit. Verse 15, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before. I done read that you might have a second benefit. And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. So, verse 16, he's just traveling through. That verse is kind of self-explanatory. He's just explaining his travel. Verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Are the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? See, that's very important. I have got that underlined in my Bible. You know why? Because we need to be sincere, and it don't need to be according to the flesh. We can have a purpose and we can have a goal and it can be according to the flesh. You know, a lot of people preach
teach, serve, and stuff like that, and they do it according to the flesh. Y'all, that's why we have to ask God for the blessing on the preaching and on the teaching and on the what we're going to do after church today and things. Why? Because you can do it in the flesh.
Yes, you can
do anything in the flesh. How in the world do you think Satan's got his ministers that preach? Well, they're just preaching in the flesh. They're still preaching. But Paul's saying, he said, do I purpose according to the flesh? No, he's not. It's rhetorical. He knows he's not. He's wanting to do it with the right motive. That's why we have to check our motives on things.
That's right.
Why? Because I tell you something. If all you have to do to check and see if you're in the flesh, if you start getting tired of the thing and tired of the work, you're doing it according to the flesh. If we're doing something for the church and we just, man, I'm just getting tired of this. Right? Well, you better check.
That's right.
Because I tell you something, the flesh will get weary of spiritual things quickly. But when you're doing it in the spirit will energize you to do something that your flesh is not capable of and things like that. There's been many times where I didn't feel good and I got up to preach, and when I first started off, I thought, man, I just don't feel good. Not that I didn't want to preach, but I just didn't feel good. And may I tell you something, the Spirit energizes you and you're able to do something because you're not doing it in the flesh. The Spirit's able to put power in there that you just don't have in the flesh. And that's why we have to, he said, do our purpose according to the flesh. There's a whole lot in that, but I'll tell you something, that's why we have to question our motives. What are we doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? He says that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Just be sincere. Y'all, we don't have to say, man, I promise you, old so-and-so. Our word ought to be, look, I say I'm going to do it, that's what I'm going to do. Yea, yea, and nay, nay. There's another place in the Bible, he says, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. And we don't have to go any further than, you know, trying to establish, well, I said I'm going to do it. Look, if we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Paul tries to do what he says he's going to do. And if we find out we can't do something, just let them know we can't do it. Just get to where we're... See, that has to do with that simplicity we was talking about earlier. Simplicity in speech, simplicity in service, and sincerity. And he had these things right here. That's why he was such a good servant. Verse 18, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. I mean, he's saying a whole lot to say this. This is what I said was my bond. And it was true, and it was sincere, and simplicity. And so he just over and over in this whole thing, when he started about that simplicity, he's talking about being simple. And that's a great text for that. Why? Because why is he saying yay and nay? And what we said we was going to do, we did. And y'all, as far as us being men for the Lord, we have got to get to where we try to be what we say we're going to do, we do. And it's hard to do. I tell you something, because no man can keep his word like the Lord can keep his word. But because the Lord keeps his word, we want to be like the Lord, and we want to try to keep our word. And y'all, that's what he said. These guys were very, very good ministers. And but one reason was because people could count on them. Y'all, that's one thing about coming to church and stuff like that. We're just learning that we can count on one another.
That's it.
You know, that's all that it getting to where we get to where we, hey, I know that I asked so and so to pray for me. I know he loves the Lord, he's gonna pray for me. And things like that. Why? Because y'all, I know this right here. I believe any man in here, I believe I could call you if I need you and you'd be right there.
Amen.
And so I'd like to be like that for y'all. Why? Because what we need to be able to have people in our lives we can count on. Verse 21 says, now he which establisheth us with you is Christ, and hath anointed us is God. All right, so establish. What's that? Just to make firm. When you establish something, you make it firm. Now, what is anointing? Now, that's the anointing. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. So this anointing is nothing like we got to go anoint so and so. I release my anointing on you. Nothing like that right there. It's and hath anointed us is God. God does the anointing. And that's why it's okay. I've got some brothers that say, I pray this message be anointed. That's a biblical thing. I mean, what he wants it to be blessed by God and the Holy Spirit be on that thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because God does the anointing. You're just asked that God's anointing will be on that thing. And it'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that's what we need. I'm going to tell you something. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in this church, because it's not by power nor by might, the Bible says, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If the Spirit's not here working in the hearts, it's not going to do any good anyway.
That's right.
And he says that God does that. Verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Here's another good verse for eternal security. He sealed us. Now, what's an earnest? That's a sign or promise of what is to come. It's a pledge. You know, you ever put earnest money down on a house or something? Well, guess what? You're going to come back and get the purchase the whole rest of the thing. We've got the Holy Spirit is the earnest in us that one of these days the Lord's going to come back and get the whole thing one day. Why? He's already bought us. But you know what? One of these days he's going to come back and claim the whole thing. And that's one thing we're looking forward to. I talk about over and over. That's that new body that we're able to be in his presence all the time. But we're sealed. He hath sealed us and given. It's a gift. All right, there's no works involved. You just reach out and receive that gift. Didn't take any works at all. I just received a gift. And guess what? It's in your heart. It's something on the inside. Amen. On the inside of you. That's how I know. Well, I tell you over and over. Y'all, for me, I know I'm saved because I trusted Jesus Christ, but I've got somebody else living on the inside of me. When I sin, it convicts me.
Amen.
And you know what? That Holy Spirit, you get closer to the Lord and that conviction will get stronger and stronger. And if you're not in fellowship with the Lord, you know what can happen? That old conscience can get seared and seared and seared. And you'll be miserable. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will be convicting you and you're just sailing over that conscience and that conscience getting seared with a hot iron. But the Holy Spirit is grieved on the inside of it. And people say, I just don't know what's going on. Tell you what, you get back in fellowship with the Lord, brother, and you'll leave. Right. Now, you may not have happiness in your circumstances, but you'll have joy in your heart. There's a difference. You're sealed. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. You know what he's doing? He's giving them some time to get right. Why? Because you remember that before we've been reading 1 Corinthians and everything, he'd been having to straighten them out on a bunch of stuff. You know what he's doing? He was giving them a little time to get right. Do you know that's how God does with us? God gives us space to repent. Nobody, anybody that God chastens, every one of them has been warned. Everyone, and before I've ever been chastened of God, he has warned me either through his word or through preaching. And guess what? If I wasn't getting around the word, if I wasn't getting under preaching, he'll convict my conscience. And if I sear my conscience, guess what else he'll do? He'll even go further than that and the Holy Spirit will be grieved. And then if I can't detect that right there, sometimes he'll start speaking little ways, this, that, and other before he lowers the boom. Why? Because God is that merciful. God will make sure that he's giving you warning after warning after warning. And you know what Paul said? I'm going to give you a little time. I thank God that sometimes we got to learn a lesson from the Lord and from Paul. Sometimes we got to give people a little time. Now I know that there's a time when you can go to, but you got to realize God knows that time and we don't. So we got to be sensitive to him. And let God work on people, and Paul's letting the Lord work on them a little while. Y'all, man, it took us. Here we are at this point, and it took us all our life to get here. Well, oftentimes we want other people. We see a problem, other people. We want them to be right then. Y'all just don't work that way. The Lord has to start working on the heart, and the Lord has to work in situations, and the Lord has to start making some things change here, there, and yonder. And it takes time. And I thank God that we can read this here and say, hey, you know what? Sometimes we have to give people time. Why? Give the Lord time to work in the situation. Why? Instead of, because a lot of times we'll ruin it by jumping in there too fast. Verse 24, not for that ye have dominion over your, we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Man, that's a good verse. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5. Helpers of your joy. You know what I am here as far as pastoral authority. A lot of people are big on this pastoral authority stuff. And as far as I can give you some scripture there where there is some authority there. But it's spiritual authority only. I have no business coming to your house and looking in your refrigerator. I have no business coming to your house and saying you're not watching so and so. I have no business saying what kind of car you're supposed to drive or who you're supposed to. All I have as far as authority, as the Bible said, is in spiritual matters, and I'm a helper here of your joy, and I'm supposed to help your faith. I'm supposed to be able to point you to the Bible or tell you what the Bible said. But as far as that, some of these guys go so far as they trying to tell so-and-so what to do and so what, and they wonder why people get to where they don't want to come to church no more and have anything to do with God and things like that. Why? Because men who've taken that pastoral authority too far, and a lot of people have enough spiritual sense about them to see through that charade there, and they say, I'm not having anything to do with that junk. And it's ruined a lot of stuff.
That's
1
right.
Peter chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 2. Peter's telling these ministers this here, and he says this, and this will go for us as far as being ministers. Pastors need to read these verses. Feed the flock of God. You know what my main job is? It's not going to see this, that, and other. That's part of it if you got time to help. But my main thing is to feed the flock of God. Why? Because it's spiritual. I'm supposed to help you in spiritual things. I'm supposed to make sure I have time to study and get in this Word and help you spiritually with the book. Now watch this. Which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now oversight, that means kind of like an overseer out here. As far as spiritual matters, it's an overseer, not somebody trying to just whip over somebody. Why is it kind of like a shepherd over sheep? Shepherd don't beat the sheep in the head. They don't do that. They lead the sheep. They lead they over and over. They lead those sheep. They don't take that run. Bam, bam, bam. They don't do that. It all has to do with you take the book and help with the book. And if the book can't do the help and the Holy Spirit blessing that thing there, I can't go any further than that. This is what it says. Not by constraint. I'm not supposed to be constrained to do. Nobody's making me get up here and preach to you. But it says, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Look, it's not about the money. And if it ever is, somebody needs to get out of the ministry. If somebody wants to bless you, that's fine. That because that's between them and God can bless them. But if somebody is preaching just because they want to have a job, that's wrong. That's one reason why the church is in the shape it's in now. Those colleges and cemeteries are training preachers, and they're really not called to preach. They're just doing it as a job. And they're doing it for filthy lucre. But watch this. But of a ready mind. Now, I'm supposed to have a ready mind if you're going to be preaching. But watch this. Verse 3. Not as being lords over God's heritage. You're not supposed to lord over and say, no, I'll tell you what. I know the other day you bought that car over there. Let me tell you what that's going to do. I don't have anything to do. That's none of the preacher's business.
Right.
Well, I know old so-and-so. He's watching this on your television the other day. And I tell you what. That ain't none of your business. It's none of my business and none of anybody else's business.
Right.
Why? What does the preacher do? The preacher gets up here and teaches and preaches and lets God work on your heart. And beyond that, I have no authority whatsoever. And any other preacher don't have any authority whatsoever. Why? Because I tell you something, that's being lords over God's heritage. Why? It's God's. God is the one that's on the inside of the heart, and God can tell them this, that, and let God work on them. Why? Because if a man convinces them, another man can unconvince them. But if God convinces them, another man can't convince them otherwise. We got to realize that. Why? Because he says, but being in samples to the flock. Why? What it has to do here would be being a sample of something else. In sample, if you sample something, that's a small sample of something larger.
That's
what we're supposed to be, a small sample of something larger. Christ. A small sample of Christ. And that's all we are. We're just a pipe, and the golden oil is supposed to flow through the pipe. And you know what? If God wants another pipe, He can get another pipe. We're just a dish rag that Christ wants to use. If He wants to pick up another dish rag, He can. And He will if He wants to. But if we think we're anything other than that, we're in a big world of hurt. And so Paul is going over that. Why? For by faith you stand. Your stand is by faith. It's not wrapped up in a man.
That's right.
And they don't have dominion over the faith. Why, who does? Christ is supposed to have dominion over your faith. That's why my job and any other preacher's worth his salt is to point you to the book. Why is that? Because look, if I cross the book, now as much as you love Brother Chase is wrong. And the other preacher is right. That's why, y'all, I plan on having some preachers in here sometime and maybe in the near future. And you know what? They may not teach it just exactly like I'm teaching it. But you know what? If I'm teaching you right, we're supposed to have enough grace to know, hey, that's not what the book says, and he's not right on that, but I can listen to the other stuff. As long as he's right on the main things, he may not believe exactly like I, and you'll know, hey, Brother Chase, he showed me the other verse to that, and he just maybe hadn't seen that verse or looked at it right. But y'all, we're not all going to agree on 100%. If we did, we wouldn't be able to work with one another. Why? Because we're just men. That's why we had this book to go by, and you can look over there and say, hey, that don't match up with that verse, but let me see if he's right on the next thing. And just mark that off. Why? Because the man who's preaching don't have dominion over your faith. You stand by faith, and that's the faith of Christ, and just judge it by the book and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that I think that's a very important that's there. And Paul had enough about him where he would say that too. He's not making out like he's somebody who he's not or has more authority than he really does. And that's going on today. A lot of people make out like they got a whole lot more authority than what they really do. Why? Because they can hold you in bondage. And as long as they can hold you in bondage, let me tell you what that bondage does. They make these folks out like, well, you didn't come to church last Sunday, and you're not right with God. Well, you don't know their situation. Well, you know what happens? Then that person feels like they have to come, so they're sitting there like this. Well, you know what's happening? That person has made them serve in the energy of the flesh. And that was warned against earlier. You know why you want people to be here? Because they want to be here. Not because they felt like they're forced and they're not right with God. Look, we don't know other people's situation. I know other people who can't come and they'd love to come. And some people can't come because they live too far and things like, and gas is high and stuff. Y'all, it's hard to find a good biblical church nowadays. So some people will drive a long way, but y'all, it takes a lot of gas money. And some people just don't make enough money to make, I mean, we have to take those things into consideration. Why? Because if we don't, you know what happens? Here we are trying to have dominion over something, and we're trying to put stipulations on somebody else that we can't even hold up to our own self. If we were in that situation, we forget to put ourselves in other people's shoes sometimes. And I tell you something, that can be real dangerous, because what if the Lord says, you know, I've been trying to show you and trying to show you have a little bit more grace. I'm going to let you get a little taste of their situation and I'll see if you do the same thing. What if the Lord done that? I tell you what, I thank God He's had grace on me, man. Because, man, I don't want to put things on other people that I... Because you never know. Paul's careful to have that. And let me see how much time we got. I tell you what, we only have 2 more minutes, so we'll close out and pick up with chapter 2 next time. If we could, Brother Mike, would you close us out, please, brother?